We kick off this third hour by getting on board the G&M Family Market phone line and talking with Jay Jaffe of Sports Illustrated. Jay, good afternoon.
Hey, thanks. Good afternoon.
Jay, you wrote about old Red Sox pal Carl Crawford and been recently DFA'd by the Los Angeles Dodgers. How did a guy who was perceived as being what was right with baseball in his days with Tampa Bay all of a sudden over time becoming the poster child for inflated contracts?
Well, you know, I think the biggest issue was injuries. I mean, he has his last season free of the disabled list was 2010, I believe. You know, the Tommy John surgery he had in 2012 and a string of other injuries have really just kind of taken just all of the dynamic qualities that made him a star in Tampa Bay out of his game. You know, he was stealing, I think, with the Dodgers in his full seasons, his best full seasons, he was averaging 19 stolen bases a year, which was about, you know, a third of what he was doing in Tampa Bay. Just wasn't quite the same player, and really found it hard to get playing time under those conditions, and the Dodgers had to move in other directions, and so it just became hard for him to get at bats.
Do you think this is the end of the line for Crawford?
I imagine that he's going to be he's going to clear waivers and get released, and some team will take a chance on him because they're only paying him the minimum salary. The Dodgers are picking up the rest of the tab. I can think of a team like the Indians who are looking at a long time without Michael Brantley as one team, but the Giants without Hunter Pence. There are a lot of teams that maybe can see if they can catch lightning in a bottle here with Crawford and. Maybe send him down on a minor league rehab stint, get him some regular at-bats, see if he comes around.
Red Sox need a left fielder. Somehow I don't see that happen. Not anytime soon, anyway. It's interesting. Some teams are trying to get out ahead of the game here and make some moves well in advance of the trading deadline, and there are a couple of notes. The Blue Jays went into the reliever market and grabbed Jason Greeley, and then Chicago White Sox picking up James Shields. Is it smart to be proactive like these two teams have been?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think you end up probably paying less of a price because there's less competition at this time if you can get these guys. And you're going to have them for maybe an extra 6 weeks or even more here by doing this. You know, Greeley was not pitching very well in Atlanta. But he's a guy who really has a great reputation as a clubhouse guy, and that kind of thing can have an outsized impact, I think, on a team that really is sort of struggling. At least that's how the Blue Jays felt about it. Greeley was kind of a glue guy in Pittsburgh a few years ago, and it's for what they gave up, it's almost nothing here. He had a pretty good season last year. Shields, had not pitched very well since signing with the Padres, but really, aside from the 10-run start, had actually put up an ERA in the low threes. So I think that was probably a reasonable move, although I do question, given how many home runs he was giving up in San Diego, what his stats are going to look like in Chicago, because Comiskey Park is a fairly home-run-promoting park.
Jay, what do you make of all the chatter recently about Madison Bumgarner lobbying to hit in the Major League Baseball Home Run Derby? I mean, for a league that's ratings-driven, it can't be the worst idea.
I think it's kind of a fun idea if he wants to participate. I don't see why it's a real obstacle. I mean, we're talking about what is, just an exhibition here. So, if the league wants to find a way to get him in there, that's fine. But, it's also, I think you wind up with a lot of players who don't really want to participate there because they worry it's going to affect their swings. And once in a while, you get a guy like Jock Peterson who has a second half crash, and people connect the dots and decide that that's what caused it. With Bumgarner swinging the bat that often, I do think the Giants might be a little nervous about letting one of their most valuable commodities, get involved on that level. So I would be very surprised if this actually happens.
Speaking of the Giants, the Red Sox get a chance to see them, a two-game set out at AT&T Park starting tomorrow night. It's an even number year, so of course the Giants are playing great. How good is this team?
they're a surprisingly good team, or at least surprising to some. They have been on a relative hot streak lately, now on, I think, a 3.5-game lead on the Dodgers. Johnny Cueto has been great. Jeff Samardzija has been pretty good, although his latest start was nothing to write home about. They've been dealing with some injuries. Hunter Pence, they're going to be without for a couple months now with a hamstring strain. So I think we're going to see what this team is really made of here. But they've made some good offseason acquisitions that have helped, and they've overcome some injuries already. So I think that they are definitely a playoff contender.
Now, the Cubs seem to be in a position to clinch, I don't know, sometime around Bastille Day. Is there a chance of them peaking too soon?
I think you probably always worry about that. And certainly playing ball at a 700 clip as they've done, the kind of clip that can lead to, challenging the Mariners' 116 win record. I think it's always worth remembering that the championship is what it's about, not the single season wins record, because those Mariners didn't win the World Series either, and they're kind of regarded somewhat dubiously for that. It's a rough place to be.
We're talking with Jay Jaffe of Sports Illustrated. Very quietly in the American League, the Cleveland Indians have been putting together a pretty good streak, find themselves now in first place in the Central Division. How is Terry Francona doing this with an interesting collection of talent?
You know, it seems to be a lot of smoke and mirrors. I mean, we know they've got very talented starting pitchers, but, Corey Kluber has not pitched that well. They've been without Carlos Carrasco for much of the season, although he's back now. Danny Salazar has really picked it up, though, and he's been great. The bullpen's been pretty good. They've been without Michael Brantley for most of the year. He's only got 4-3 plate appearances. They lost Abe Almonte to a drug suspension, and then Marlon Byrd to another drug suspension. They're getting hot at the right time when the rest of the AL Central is on its heels. I mean, the Tigers aren't what they once were. The White Sox got out to a hot start, but have since kind of hit a dead spot here. The Royals have really struggled at times, only got two really good starting pitchers and two or three really good hitters, and they lost one of them, Mike Moustakas, for the season. So, this is anybody's race right now.
Jay, away from baseball, everybody's still talking about the passing of Muhammad Ali last Friday, and SI had a great tribute that was up earlier today. I think he probably graced the cover maybe more than any athlete in history, was named greatest athlete of the 20th century. Will we ever see in our lifetime somebody like Ali who's able to transcend sports so completely and become such a global icon?
Boy, that's a good question. I think the conditions for Ali to do what he did were really just, it was a perfect storm with the opposition to the Vietnam War and the growing impact of television. I think these days, so much of an athlete's image beyond the field is connected to advertising and things like that that just, don't really resonate in the same way, don't have the same sort of purity of meaning as what Ali did. It's just a phenomenon, and really very interesting to see how Sports Illustrated handled his passing. My wife is an editor there, and she had long said that the refrain on any cover story was that unless Ali dies, this will be the cover story.
Right.
They've had scenarios in place for his passing for years now, and this is what they'd all been training for practically. And they've got he'll be on the regular cover for the 40th time. I think only Michael Jordan's been on more. They've got a commemorative issue, and I think a book coming out as well. So a lot of great content at SI. Some great old pieces that are some of the best sports writing ever delivered.
Emma was on. Your wife Emma was on with us last week. So
that's right.
Next up is your dog.
We'll see if we can get Pearl on there sometime soon.
Before we let you go, we always have to get a beer recommendation from you, Jay.
Oh, I had some great Maine beers recently because a friend of mine came down to visit. One of them was this Allagash 16 Counties, which was kind of a Belgian-style strong pale ale that I really loved. Also finally got my hands on the Maine Brewing Company's Lunch for the first time, which
is
just a wonderful IPA. Really impressed with the quality of beer you guys have up there.
Excellent. Thank you, Jay. As always, great talking with you. We'll do it again soon. Thank you, Jay.
All right. A pleasure, Rich. Take care.